Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
Thank you, Jake, for letting us take over your NRT Now podcast. We definitely appreciate it.
This is a peaceful takeover, though. It's not a hostile takeover.
You know? Not at all. We would never hostily take over the podcast?
No hostile in the gospel. Right. You know what I mean? That's it. All right.
I'm here with Mike Weaver of Big Daddy Weave, and very excited to see you perform. This is going to be the first concert I have seen since January of last year.
Oh my goodness. Well, man, I know it's been such a crazy year.
It has been. Yeah. And I know you guys have been back on the road for a while. You've been doing events throughout the process, trying to find different ways to perform.
Yeah, wherever they would have it, you know, if it's a drive-in movie theater, it's a, you know, bar mitzvah, whatever, you know, wherever we can go.
Yeah. It's good to know that I'm going to listen to live music here very soon. It's been a hole in my heart. So
that's awesome.
Thank you
man.
Guys for coming.
We're excited.
I don't know if you know this, but Big Daddy Weave and New Release Today have something very close in common. We are celebrating our 20th anniversary this month.
Wow.
And next year, in July of next year, you guys will be celebrating 20 years since your debut came out.
And from an industry standpoint, we're an indie band a few more years than that.
Yes.
So it's like, I think this is year 23 for us. But that includes some time before we actually release a record.
We don't count any of that.
Yeah.
No, it's only like, when you're
only
signed.
Official. Yeah. Only industry official birthday. Right?
That's right.
That's so cool, man.
Yes.
Well, happy 20-year birthday.
Thank you very much. And I brought liner notes from your first CD here. And just wanted to take a look at this. And,
crazy, man.
I mean, what strikes me is as you look in the middle of that, if you look in the middle of this, what strikes me is that after 20 years, you guys are more or less intact. I mean, with the exception of Jeff Jones.
Yeah, our drummer. We changed drummers, like I guess maybe 7-8 years ago, something like that.
Right, yeah.
It was 2014.
So, I mean, you guys have remained together all this time and through some pretty amazing life challenges.
Yes.
I mean, what are you thinking as you look through this and kind of your album cover? And
oh man, today, honestly, specifically as I look through this, I miss my brother. Mm. Today he is not with us because we had to fly, and his health has really been a challenge. I mean, he's on dialysis. He can't see out of one eye. I mean, diabetes is a terrible, terrible disease. Man, and it just. Today, a great friend of ours, Raul Alfonso, he lives in LA now. He flew out to join us to play for Jay, actually.
Oh, okay.
And so when I see this and I see all these young guys, you know, who are not so young anymore, man. Yeah, it brings back a lot of memories, but truly memories of God's faithfulness, man.
Right.
But we miss Jay being here today, man.
Right. I mean, when you guys did this, you said you mentioned that you were playing a couple years, 2-3 years before you got signed. So you had some experience under your belt, but certainly this was new. This was exciting.
This was
a new season.
Absolutely.
And you know, we were 2 decades, 9 albums later.
Yeah.
I just want to know what's changed with how you guys are approaching your ministry through music.
You know, there's some things that have changed just because of our set of experiences. And, you know, look, do it this way, not that way. But I hope, if anything, what's changed is maybe the purpose of why we do this would maybe only have deepened, you know, because when we got into this, we told the Lord, we were all at the University of Mobile, little Mobile, Alabama. We started playing on campus. We got the name Big Daddy Weave almost accidentally. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
First time we ever played, somebody hears it. They're like, hey, come play at this thing across campus. We only been together 15 minutes. We got our first gig. You know what I mean? They're like, what do you put on the flyer? Guys, if this ever happens to you, pray and ask Jesus what to call it. Because we're like, oh, Big Daddy Weave in the institution. You know, we're just being silly. Then 20 years later, man, you know. And so we told the Lord because we had seen too many of our buddies pursue a career in music, you know, and go down in flames, starving, you know what I mean? And so we just told the Lord, God, if this is something you want us to do, you make the places for us to play and we'll go. And so the end of our third year as an independent band, man, we played 180 times that year.
In 1 year.
And we didn't ask anybody to bring us. We told people that the Holy Spirit was our booking agent, you know, and right, he yeah. made the places for us to play. Then we had opportunity to make an indie record, and that got discovered. And then it was even weirder, you know, signing a record deal or looking at this contract that any other place in business probably doesn't look very good. You know right. what I mean? And that's like the standard thing, you know. But then the Lord led us, you know, by his peace. We haven't done that perfectly, but man, he has sustained us for 20 years, more than 20 years now. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
I mean, it really is unbelievable. I think as part of this prep, as we, you know, start celebrating 20 years, we're going back and looking at all the bands who have been around. We did a lot of research. There's very few.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you're talking a dozen, you know, under 20 as we start putting together that list, and you guys are on that. It's a testament to not only God's faithfulness, but your guys' faithfulness as well, because there were a lot of times you've been very open with it in the past sure. of how you wanted to just quit and you're done with this. And
absolutely.
I don't know how
like,
we go
I mean,
on.
Dude, like this week, you know what I mean? It's like, absolutely.
Yeah.
We deal with it all the time. You know? But I think this though, we can't live without his peace, you know? And when you violate that peace, I'm miserable, man. You know, even though I'm miserable some of the other time too, you know, but I'm miserable, and I have to come back to a place where I'm surrendering, I'm conceding to what we believe the Lord's will to be, you know. And man, it's been crazy because this last season that we've been through that has had a good many hardships, man. My mom and dad both have gone to be with the Lord over the last 6 years. My brother became a double amputee because of these crazy health issues that he has, you know. And even this week, us talking about him physically going to have to take a break from this. And that, honestly, man, was one of the hardest things that we've talked about. But to have...
He has endured so well.
He has.
We all expected, like, well, that's... He's going to have to step aside, and he's stayed in it.
You know, and he still will always be involved. But it's like to really focus on winning this battle and to really seek the Lord about how to win the battle, you know, of his health. And so we're praying for him because he's literally nauseous telling me this is where we've come to, because we had been sharing with him, look, man, you don't have to be a hero, you know. You know, the Lord is going to go with us. And we know that even as we pray together, the Lord will honor those prayers, man. There's no distance and time in the Lord, you know. But still, even though it's tearing him up to say, I can't do this right now, the peace of God that comes with walking in right relationship with Jesus, you know, and doing what it is that he's leading, that peace is just something I can't live without very long. I feel like I try to live without it. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if anybody else is like that, but I am that way where I want to do my thing like so bad, you know? But Jesus' entire mantra was this: I don't do anything that I don't see the Father do. I only do what I see the Father. I only say what I hear the Father say. And that's why you see Jesus' success rate in ministry was very high, you know? And that's where we aspire to go, you know? Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, definitely the entire community that rallies and loves you guys and been listening for years are going to be rallying around your brother. And
you know,
best hopes for Jay. Obviously, health is more important than anything else.
Absolutely.
And we root for him and root for him to get to a place where he can come back and tour really well with you guys, like before.
It's been amazing to see how Jesus uses even the adversity. We were at a show recently, so things are just starting to happen, right? They're always limiting the capacity because they're trying to be safe. Nobody knows what to really do, but everybody's just trying their best, man, you know? So we're in South Carolina, and Jay has a practice every day. So my brother Jay, the bass player, has a practice every day to pray over the room before we play. And so in a wheelchair like he is, he can reach some things and literally touch the seats, but then he brings his kids in and they touch the rest of the seats and pray. When he finished that time, I basically passed him coming off stage, because then I come and lead a time of like a question and answer time, a testimony time, like a meet and greet sort of thing. There's a guy sitting right in the middle of the auditorium. I mean, there's him and like maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 other people in there. And this guy has got the look on his face like he's going to start the question answer time, you know? And so I'm like, well, anybody want to go first? He's like, me. He goes, this is not my kind of thing. He goes, I just wanted to let you know that up front. He goes, the lady he was with, like, showed me some of your songs, and I think they're all right. And he goes, man, I was in ministry for a long time. I was a pastor, and he talked about an event where this young person was killed actually at the event. It sounded absolutely horrific. He followed the trail of, like, how could a loving God, you know? And then as many of us do, man, he left the ministry. And he's there and he's like, this is not my thing anymore. I just wanted you to know. I'm like, well, duly noted, you know. He goes, but here's the deal. And this is what he says. And I don't mean to be offensive by this at all. He says, you know, my BS meter is pretty good, is what he says. And he says, I want to know your story. And so we just start sharing through some of the things we've been through. And he goes, hey, man, he goes, I think I actually believe you, is what he said. And so we pray over the time. We're done. I go to tell Jay. That, hey, there's a guy out there. I really think the Lord wants to do a thing tonight. He peeks out the curtain. He goes, show me. And I showed him. And he's looking. And he sees him. And he literally begins to weep. And he goes, Jesus showed me that guy's face when I was praying over the room. And, man, so when we go through the show, I look over. My brother, he's lost fingers now, man. He's just been through a very terrible time. My brother's got both of his hands, his arms just raised in worship to the Lord. And it just wrecks the guy in the middle of the room. And he, at one point, his face is downcast, and his shoulders are kind of like heaving, like he's sobbing. And then at another point, his head is thrown back and his arms are raised, tears streaming down his face. And I'm looking at Jay and we're both like, whoa, whatever is going on. He comes back into our dressing room before anybody could stop him or anything else. And he is after Jay. After the show, he's just almost running. I thought I was going to have to like body check him or something, security. you know, because there was no time. I was like, maybe we need better security or something. And he gets back there and he begins and he used some like really bad language. He was like, why are you not just blankety blank God? You know, except for he says the thing. I'm like, whoa, dude, you can't just do that. There's like Baptists everywhere, man. You know what I mean? And Jay just turns around in his wheelchair to face him and goes, I get that, man. He goes, I feel like that sometimes. He goes, but those same days are the days that God's getting me through himself. He's carrying me through those days. I'm not making this up, Kevin. Like, he falls down on his knees, the guy, and is just sobbing. Jay rolls over to him. One of his gnarled hands, man, puts it on his head and just prays this. Me and the rest of the guys at Bing Daddy, we were just standing back going, whoa.
What
you
is
know?
Going on?
Yeah. He puts his hand on his head and just goes, God, show him that he's not a victim, God. Show him that he's a son. Show him that he's a son. And that guy, through his weeping, goes, I want God to heal you so bad. And Jay goes, me too. And every day, it's been very hard. And we don't understand. You see the value that God places on the lives of people. And the fact that Jay has been through so much, it's not cheap for Jay to say what he said. Then God uses that. God uses those experiences to then reach into the life of somebody who's gone away, you know, but that he loves so much and he wants to bring back. It's amazing.
Thank you for sharing that story. Incredible story. And I think it really, you just answered my next question is that in the, you know, this last record was written really in a long period. It took 4 years to get out. And a lot of people ask, where's Big Daddy Weave? What's going on? We want new music. The fans' constant appetite for what's new. And I think the story came out that you guys were struggling with so much just personal strife with Jay. And you mentioned your mom and dad and sorry for that loss. And, my question was, how do you keep revisiting such a painful time over and over? Today, you're going to sing a lot of the songs from that record that are so full of hope.
Yeah.
But emotionally, it's got to take you back. You got to remember where you were when you were writing that. But the testimony you just gave, the story you just gave, shares what I believe has got to get you out on that stage today and in the coming days, that you see God perform through adversity. It must just be so encouraging for you.
It is, you know, and it is hard, though. But I'll tell you, this is what our pastor says often at church. He says, you know, you have to find purpose beyond your pain. And what I think my purpose is now, because even weeks ago, my mom passed away a little over a month ago. Yeah. And man, and we got to be full-time caretakers of her for the last 5 months of her life. I'd never had that opportunity before. Man, it was hard, but it was also so rewarding, man. And I just met the Lord in so many different ways and had such a special time with my mom in her last days. Man, and it was like God literally walked her home, you know? She had missed my dad so much for the last few years. Yeah. And there was this moment when my wife Candace was like, man, we got to get your mom back to her house. She'd been staying with us in Tennessee. And so we just hurried. And man, I remember sitting up and praying. And I'm like, dude, I don't even think this works theologically, you know? But I said, God, would you just send dad to get mom? And my brother called. Jay called about an hour and a half later. And he goes, Mike, I just had the most significant dream, dude. I just had the most amazing dream of Jesus and dad sitting on mom's front porch. And when you guys pulled in with her, they just walked her into the sunset, man. So I stepped on it, man. I'm like, I want to see that happen. And there were moments, days before she passed, when heaven was so near, you know? And literally when she passed, it was right at sunset. She just went to be with the Lord. It was so peaceful. And that, the nearness of heaven, the realization of how real heaven is and how short this life is becoming my purpose, you know, beyond my pain. So when we revisit one of those songs that hurt, I get to say, yeah, but not for much longer.
It's good.
Because this is a blink in comparison to what we're called into forever.
It's good. Know? I love it. I want to ask you a little bit about something that I am seeing trending. And I think you can speak to the larger church. I know certainly I need some encouragement in this area as well, but I'm not going to name any names or situations. But I'm just seeing a lot of apologizing going on in our culture of believers stepping in firestorms and apologizing to the world. And to me it hurts and it's painful because I look at Jesus's ministry, and what I don't see is apology.
Yeah, right.
I see a lot of love, and right. I see a lot of hard truth, right. And then I see a lot of invitation, but I don't see apology. And I think we're all trying to figure out in this like crazy, stupid culture, you know, the cancel culture, and just you have to appease everybody.
Yeah.
To do that with biblical truth is virtually impossible.
Yeah.
What do you say? Like, what do you say to us? How do we stay encouraged while still maintaining an ounce of truth?
You know, I do. I think there's some apology required, but it's from us to the Lord. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that we didn't walk in such a way because He's afforded us that we would be the place where He lives.
Yeah.
You know, not only Emmanuel, God with us, He's like God in us by way of Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, in my life, I do a very poor job of just letting Him have His way with me. Mm. And there is a thing that is to the church that is worth apology to the world. I'm sorry that we didn't carry Him in the way that we've been, you know, shown that we should, you know, because then you would see there is such a thing as holiness.
Yeah.
You would see, you know, Francis of Assisi said, you know, I preach the gospel all the time. Sometimes use words.
Right.
You know, we could preach and we could say it and everything else, but if our lives do not show them, how in the world are they ever supposed to know? That is our assignment here. And so we apologize to the Lord. And I think it takes us as a church culture falling on our face in front of God and us saying, God, I am sorry. I turn my mind and I change my mind. I want to turn away from the old things that I've believed of how I can include all of my own worldly ways instead of just giving them all up to you, you know? And then I think, though, when we start walking as a church who's filled with God, you're going to see cancel culture actually just take an interest in what's going on over there because I don't have that kind of life. I mean, we talk about having that kind of life. We don't walk in living that kind of life. And when we do live it, though, because that's what's been afforded us, I believe you'll see a turn of the tide. Yeah. Jesus said narrow and few. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think there are many who would see and they would believe if they saw the reality of Christ in us, right?
I agree. That's a good answer. Thank you. You know, last question as we wrap up here. You recently announced re-signing with Curb Word Entertainment. This has been your label home for your entire career.
Yeah.
Great people over there. They obviously have surrounded you, and a lot of people are advancing your career. It's had some pretty awesome results. I want to read them to you because I know you don't understand or care about these. I'm sure you know all these.
It's kind of where I'm at. Yeah. And they're like, it's like, let's go to the next part. There's like, it's okay.
You've had
it's
10 number one singles and 7 top 5 singles, 2 K-Love Fan Awards, 2 Dove Awards, a We Love Christian Music Award from NRT.
Dude, that's awesome, man. That was maybe my favorite one.
That's awesome. Right, yeah. Well, I thank you for saying that, of course. Multiple ASCAP awards. I mean, you've had nominations for days. You and I and everybody listening knows these are human accolades. They're human awards. They've got to add up to mean something, though.
Well, at least to me, it just means somebody saw it. It was contact. You know, it was the fact that people came in contact with it. Still, the favorite thing ever is when somebody realizes who Jesus is and what that means for them. Yeah. That's the greatest part ever. There was my favorite accolade. This is incredible. We were driving to a venue from the hotel. I never have cash, but we saw this homeless dude at the exit where we're getting off. The girl who was driving, I had per diem that day. I had to buy lunch or whatever. I gave $40 to her, right? And I said, get that guy's attention. And so we pull up. He comes up. He takes the money but looks past the girl, and he goes, dude, are you Big Daddy Weave? The homeless guy. We're never the latest, greatest anything. You know, we're not Toby Mac, dude. You know what I mean? It's like we don't have the cool is not in our repertoire. You know what I mean? We are real, though, or whatever.
Yeah, signing babies.
Yeah, no, that's not it. No. I wouldn't do that anyway. You know, it's like, don't sign babies, Toby Mac, or whatever. You know, it's like, but that's weird. But the thing is, we saw him, and he goes, are you Big Daddy Weave? I said, dude, I sing for Big Daddy Weave. How do you know? And he looked ashamed, man, but he just goes, I've been in and out of rehab like so many times. He goes, but there they always play your songs. Mm-hmm. And I feel like somebody gave me a Grammy right then, you know? Yeah. Like, that's the goal, man. Yeah. That is the goal.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, I'm guessing the biggest accolade in that list would be the number of people you guys have encouraged and brought to Christ. And I wish I had that number, but I know it's pretty big.
Man, dude, and we just are looking for him one at a time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how he does it.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right, Mike, you guys are known for praying for people all the time. So how can we be praying for you?
Let's pray for my brother, man. Yeah. That's the thing that's heavy on me right now. I felt it kind of like break him the other day. You know, when he had to tell me, he's like, I got to not go. And that was after already a year of not going or whatever, you know? And so just if you pray for him and just pray for us that all of the stuff that surrounds this that is so distracting, that all of that garbage would just fade to the side and we just clearly see and pursue Jesus and hear him so clear about where to go and what to do, and that we would have hearts that were so moldable that we would just do what he says. You know what I mean?
It's awesome. Well, yeah. I'm with you on that. So that's a hard focus.
Man, if you pray that for us, man, I'll slap you 5 next
time.
Let's
do it.
Dude.
That's 5's awesome. All around.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.